Scripture is given by inspiration of God, is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season, convince, rebuke, exhort, with all long-suffering and teaching. Welcome to Straight from His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.
Heavenly Father, thank you for your love, your mercy, grace, your compassion. We thank you for the blood of your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we thank you, Father, for the gift of eternal life. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy today. Lord, we offer the sacrifice of praise. Lord, you're worthy of all praise. You're worthy of all glory. And you're worthy of all honor, Lord. And we thank you. We love you. And we worship you today. Lord, you are good and your mercy endureth forever. We thank you for your love. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your compassion. We thank you that you loved us enough to send your Son to die for us on the cross at Calvary, and that we've been redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and that the power of sin has been broken over our lives, and that our names are written down in the Lamb's Book of Life. And Lord, we thank you, and we give you praise, and we give you glory, we give you honor, we magnify your name. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit. We thank you for your precious Holy Spirit, our advocate, our counselor, our teacher. We thank you, Lord God, that you've not left us alone. We thank you for the blood of Yeshua that cleanses of all sin and all unrighteousness in the name of Yeshua. And we thank you, Lord God. We thank you for your healing power, your healing anointing to drive out the spirit of sickness, disease, and infirmity in the name of Yeshua, because you are the same today, yesterday, and forevermore. We thank you for your healing power being unleashed even now in Yeshua's mighty name. We thank you for the gifts of healing being activated in the body of Christ, the gifts of miracles and the gift of faith being released and activated in the name of Yeshua. God, I thank you for impartating your power to your people, that their lives will be changed, that people will be made whole, people will be walking in deliverance and complete and total liberty and freedom. Lord, when you died on the cross, it was only for our spiritual healing, but well as our natural healing. And God, drive out the spirit of infirmity, drive out that spirit of asthma. Every person that is suffering with any type of breathing condition, any type of breathing disorder, God, I ask that you would heal them and set them free in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for healing lung cancer. We thank you for healing emphysema right now in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for breaking that yoke right now in Yeshua's mighty name. I thank you, Lord God. I thank you for the healing power manifesting by the power of the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the glory of the Lord being revealed. I thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit filling the atmosphere, that lives would be changed, that demons would have to flee in the name of Yeshua. Lord, let your glory be revealed in the lives of your people. God, I thank you for releasing financial miracles. Let them manifest in the natural realm. Let this be the season of natural manifestation of your glory and your power. And I thank you, Father. I thank you, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you for open doors and opportunities. I thank you for job promotions. Thank you for elevation. Yes, Lord, I thank you for the elevation in Yeshua's mighty name, and I thank you. And Father, I pray that your blessing would be upon this teaching today. May our hearts and minds be open to hear and to receive. We bind the strong man of mind control, that people's minds will be able to hear and receive the gospel. Lord, release your warring angels to go forth to do battle over this region. Let the strong men over this area, this region, be bound in the name of Yeshua. And Father, I thank you, and I give you praise, and I give you glory, and I give you honor. Amen, amen, amen. Praise the Lord, saints. Welcome straight from his word. It's a blessing to be with you once again to share the word of God. Truly we serve a mighty God, and God is good, and his mercy endureth forever. To the first time listeners, God bless you. Thank you for tuning in to Straight from His Word. I'm not the typical radio preacher. I give it to you straight with no sugar added. And you're going to hear me say this over and over again. I'm just grateful and thankful for the privilege and the opportunity to be on the airways to share the gospel with you. We are living in the last days. We are living in perilous times. All you got to do is look and watch and see the news and see what's taking place. I don't watch too much news today because they be lying too much. The return of our Messiah, his return is imminent. And it's extremely important that we are in a covenant relationship with him in the body of Christ, that we're pressing our way in, and that we have a desire to not only know him, but to be used by him, to where we have a life that is yielded and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus, Yeshua the Messiah, and that it's our desire to be an effective witness for him, whether it's in the workplace, in your business, or wherever God has placed you in this particular station in your life. And you say, Lord, I want to be able to live for you, God. I want to be able to be a blessing to you. And Lord, I want you to use me for your glory and for your honor and your power. Saints, we're in this series, choose whom you will serve. as we are living in the last days, as we are seeing the apostasy that is taking place in the body of Christ as a whole, we realize that we need to have a spiritual understanding of what's taking place in the natural and the spiritual realm, and dealing with the spirit of idolatry, idol worship, and recognizing that it was the spirit of idolatry and idol worship that got the nation of Israel in trouble with God. And here when we look in the United States of America, we see that oh my gosh, it's not preached and taught about very much in the body of Christ. But we need to recognize and understand, and you know, during last year's broadcast, I probably lost a few radio listeners, because when you start talking, quote unquote, about politics, people get a little upset. They get all in their emotions. They get all in their feelings. But I need you to understand that your king, your president, or whatever the case might be, that ruler, their policies can impact your relationship, the relationship with God, and whether the country will walk in blessings, chastisement, judgment. And when you have the wrong rulers and leaders in place, their policies impacts your ability to thrive and function, even if you are a believer in Christ. So just recognizing the fact that it was the evil kings and the evil rulers that led Israel into idol worship and got them in trouble with God and caused a breach between them and God. And in the body of Christ, we need to recognize, and that as we allow the Holy Spirit of God to examine our hearts to where we do not have these idols and these graven images and these things set up in our heart, because we do not want to do anything that would cause a breach between us and Father God through the idols and the images. And, you know, the Lord has been dealing with me on this particular issue because, I worship idolatry as well. And that's how the enemy gets a foothold. He gets in because his objective is to create a breach between you and Father God. We were in 1 Kings chapter 11. I tell you, to the first time listeners, if you struggle with something I say, pray, get on your knees, open up your Bible, and ask the Lord to show you. Here's what the scripture says. Here's what the scripture declares. And then you have to make a determination on whether or not you want to receive it and walk in it. Now here in and it started with Solomon, the son of David. And for those of you that were not here last week, let's go to verse 1, because it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh." That was his first mistake, by marrying Pharaoh's daughter. And you've heard me say that. You got to be careful who you get with. You got to be careful who you marry to. The Bible says, be not unyoked together with unbelievers. And a lot of people, they marry the wrong folk, and they can mess up your life. Oh, let's not talk about that, preacher. But anyway, it says, "But King Solomon loved many strange women, together with the daughter of Pharaoh, women of the Moabites, the Ammonites, Edomites, Zidonians, and Hittites, of the nations concerning which the Lord said unto the children of Israel, you shall not go unto them, neither shall they come unto you. For surely they will turn away your heart after their gods, and Solomon clave all to these in love." So God had gave commandments or instructions, do not even marry these folk, because they're going to turn your heart away. And you've heard me say this last week, realizing the fact that how is it that when believers get around unbelievers, that the unbelievers have a greater influence and they're able to influence believers who are not strong in their faith to turn away from serving God. They will begin to lead them down that road of rebellion and disobedience and idol worship and turning away from the things of God. But for some reason, because we are so timid in our Christian faith and our walk, we don't want to offend anybody, and we don't want to do things to offend people, to where we just cower, like we're weak. A prime example is praying when you go into a public restaurant, praying over your food, blessing your food. You know, it's like you don't want anybody seeing that. You know, you're in a restaurant, one of them high dollar restaurants. And you don't people look, when we go in to eat, me and my daughter, we go to eat, we going to pray over the food. We going to bless the food. I don't care if people are looking at me, because I don't care what their opinions are. I say, oh, there must be one of them Christians praying over their food. Yeah, I'm going to bless my food, because I'm grateful and thankful that I can go to one of these high dollar restaurants and eat some good food. Amen. Even if I go into a McDonald's or a Wendy's or something like that, and I'm sitting down, I'm going to pray and bless my food. I'm not going to be ashamed about it. But we get around the unbelievers, these heathens, and we're timid. But they're not ashamed of the gods that they bow down and that they worship. And they do their thing and don't even think nothing about it. They could care less. But we are so comfortable that we don't want to offend anybody. We don't want to hurt anybody's feelings. And we want everybody to like us and to love us. You see, yes, we exercise restraint. Because sometimes in the workplace, you get certain things you can say and do and can't do. But recognizing the very instance and the very fact that you cannot allow the people that you associate with to influence your relationship with God. And he said, and Solomon had 700 wives, princesses, 300 concubines, and his wives turned away his heart. Saints, that's too much power. When you can love an individual, a natural person, so much that it can cause your heart to turn away from God. That's why we serve a jealous God. He says, I will have no other gods before me. Whether it's your wife, husband, children, grandchildren, your job, your ministry, your pastor, whatever it might be. Because God is a jealous God. When God wants to be in a relationship with you, it's between you and God. God wants you to be all he is. Now, God does not have a problem with you having a desire to, you know, to have wealth and to live in a nice home and drive a nice car and wear nice clothes and all those things. I'm not saying all that. It's the heart attitude and your condition. Do you allow those things that are into your life that are blessings to corrupt your heart and corrupt your relationship with Christ? You see, because God was the one that gave Solomon this wisdom and this wealth. Because God appeared to him in a dream and said, hey, what do you want? Man, you know, I think about that sometimes. If God appeared to me in a dream and asked me what I want. Woo, Lord have mercy. And he said, I need wisdom. I need wisdom to lead your people. So I can go in and out because I'm young. I don't know any better. God said, okay, cool. I'm going to give you this. And because you didn't ask for riches and wealth, I'm going to give it to you. That's why we serve a God of abundance. Sometimes God will give us above and beyond what we ask for. But here we see is that his wives, he allowed their influence, their culture that they came from to impact his relationship with God. And it says, for it came to pass when Solomon was old that his wives turned away his heart after other gods. And his heart was not perfect with the Lord his God as was the heart of David, his father. See, people, that's why you got to be careful of your circle of friends. Who you running with? Who you fellowship with? Who you associating with? Because if you're around a bunch of lukewarm Christians and believers, you're going to become lukewarm. You got to find, get around some folks that are on fire, that have a zeal for God. If you're listening to some lukewarm, my mama used to say milquetoast preaching, milkworm, milquetoast preaching, then that's what you're going to be. I think that's part of the problem we have in the body of Christ. We've been preached this socially acceptable, tolerant gospel to where we are so soft that we're no threat to the kingdom of darkness. And the enemy looks at us and says, go ahead and have your 10,000 members. They're not going to do nothing. They ain't binding up the devil. They ain't casting me out. They're not praying for the sick. You're having your social events, your tea and crumpets and your little get-togethers and little festivals this and all of this other stuff. Instead of saying, you know what, we're going to pray for the power of God to be released. We're going to pray for the power of God to fall. We're going to pray that lives are changed, that people are delivered and set free, that when people walk through the doors, they will have an encounter with the Lord God Almighty. And then when they go out, they're going to go out and proclaim and testify that they met Jesus Christ, Yeshua, the Messiah, and that the power of God is real. And then they're going to go out into the highways and the hedges and begin to minister the gospel truth to tell people that there is a better way. There is a better life to live. You don't have to live like this and begin to share their testimony and then back it up with the power of God granting deliverance and healing. You see, we need revival in the body of Christ. We need revival in the United States of America, and we need the preachers to begin to preach and teach about it. We need preachers to begin to pray and say, you know what, we're going to pray until the power of God falls. Instead of having a movie social at the church, we're going to have a prayer meeting. Most prayer meetings are empty in most churches. Most churches spend so much time trying to develop their programs instead of developing a strong prayer circle in life for their members and teaching them how to pray, how to bind, how to worship, how to engage the kingdom of darkness, exposing who the kingdom and what the kingdom of darkness is, but realizing that we have been given power and authority over the walk, over the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt us. So therefore, we are victorious in Christ because we're yielding his sword and we're going in the power and authority of his might. And it all starts with our condition of our heart. Where is our heart? How much do we love God? Do we love God more than we love mama, baby, daddy, boo? Do we love God more than we love our job? Do we love God more than we love our pastor, our ministries, if we're in ministries, our churches? Do we love God more? Have we gotten to the place that we've opened up our hearts, that we have such a love for God that no matter what the enemy brings into our lives, we are not going to allow that individual, that person, that thing or whatever to influence who we are in Christ? We're not going to cause them to cause a breach between us and God. I'm preaching to the choir. Maybe I'll get an amen from somebody out there. And it says, now look at this. Now Solomon knew better. It says, for Solomon went after Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, and after Milcom, the abomination of the Ammonites. And Solomon did evil in the sight of the Lord, and went not fully after the Lord, as did David his father. You see, when we begin to dabble in other cultural beliefs and systems that are anti-Christ, anti-God, it can cause us to turn our hearts away from serving him, from praising him, and worshiping him. It can cause us to break fellowship with God. And it says, then Solomon built a high place for Chemosh, the abomination of Moab in the hill that is before Jerusalem, and for Molech, the abomination of the children of Ammon. And likewise did he for all his strange wives with burnt incense and sacrifice unto their gods. You see, a lot of times, you know, folks, when you marry the wrong person, you with the wrong people, you want to try to please them. And you can say, okay, baby, you want to go on and bow down to that statue and do all that. Go on and do it. I'm going to do my thing. But see, right there, that brings a breach and a division in the relationship right there. Even you have believers that have come from different denominational beliefs have a hard time having successful marriages and relationships because you might be with someone that believes in the power of the Holy Spirit, speaking other tongues, laying hands on the sick, casting out devils. Then you might be married to somebody that sits back in one of them little quiet places where they don't make no noise and they don't believe in the supernatural power of God. So now your marriage is already divided. So you got to get somebody that is in agreement that believes like you believe so that you come together as one. You can worship as one. You can praise as one. You can serve God as one. So that is taken out of the equation that the enemy can use that in your marriage relationship. But that's a whole sermon in itself. And it says, and the Lord was angry with Solomon because his heart was turned from the Lord God of Israel, which had appeared unto him twice and had commanded him concerning this thing that he should not go after other gods. But he kept not that which the Lord commanded. So God met with him twice. Not many people on the planet get visitations from God. And God said, here's what I need you to do, and here's what I tell you not to do. Just like in the Garden of Eden, it was Adam and God. God and Adam, Adam and God. And when God spoke to Adam and said, look, you can eat of all the tree, but you want this one right here, you leave it alone. Because the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. You're going to die spiritually. You're going to introduce spiritual death. And he had no idea the type of evil, of sickness and disease and everything that was going to be unleashed into the human bloodstream. Why? Because of one simple act of rebellion and disobedience. And here we are living today with all manner of sickness, disease, and infirmity. And thank God that when Jesus, Yeshua, the Messiah, he came to undo what Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden. You see, that's why when he went about, it says Jesus, the Son of God, went about doing good, healing all who were oppressed of the devil. You see, we recognize that there is a spiritual warfare. There is a spiritual conflict that is taking place. And it's like we don't want to really want to acknowledge it. I wonder what would happen, saints, if the body of Christ, all denominations, and the preachers began to preach about the power of God and to begin to preach the message of deliverance and healing and engaging the kingdom of darkness, what our country would look like. Would we be in revival? Would lives be changed? Would the bars shut down? Like when Charles Finney would come to town. Would the presence of God be so strong that the enemy strongholds were literally just shut down? Why? Because the glory and the presence of God has showed up. You see, we have relied too much on the wisdom of man instead of the power of God to grow our ministries and our churches. We become user-friendly churches. We become the user-friendly church because we want everybody to accept us and love us. Jesus said they're going to love you. Jesus said they're going to hate you. Why? Because you testify that their deeds are evil. The enemy is going to come at you because you're making an impact. You're exposing the kingdom of darkness. All hell will break loose around you. And you have to recognize that we are involved in a spiritual war and a spiritual conflict. And when God had gave this instruction, you know, God has called us to be a militant church, not a passive church. Oh, God help us. And recognizing it's the people, it's us. We need revival. We need God to show up in our lives. We need God to move. And then it says in verse 11, says, wherefore the Lord said unto Solomon, for as much as this is done unto you, for you have not kept my covenant and my statutes which I have commanded you, I will surely rend thy kingdom from thee and will give it to thy servant. Notwithstanding in thy days, I will not do it for David thy father's sake, but I will rend it out of your hand of thy son. Howbeit, I will not rend it away all the kingdom, but give one tribe to thy son for David my servant's sake and for Jerusalem's sake, which I have chosen. So recognizing the fact, God pronounced judgment and chastisement on Solomon, who had God's divine favor. And when we look and examine what is taking place in our society today, we need to say, Lord, forgive us. Lord, we need godly leaders, political leaders. We need pastors, teachers, and evangelists, prophets that's going to preach and declare the full and the whole counsel of God. That's going to say, Lord, we want to use you. We want to live for you. We want to serve for you because you are our God. Lord, you sent your son to die for me on the cross at Calvary. And those that are listening that don't know Christ, today is the day to say, Lord, I want to live for you. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe that you died and you rose again the third day and that you are now seated at the right hand of the Father. And today I yield and surrender my life to you. Those that are believers, today is the day, Lord, I surrender my life to you. Lord, examine my heart. Lord, show me anything that is not pleasing to God. Remove anything or anyone out of my life that is hindering my walk and my fellowship with you. Saints, be praying for me at Straight Word Christian Ministries. I need your prayers. If the Spirit of God moves on you to bless us financially, please be obedient to this Holy Spirit of God. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem as the Bible commands us to do so. Know that Yeshua, Jesus, is Lord and his return imminent. Pray for your family and your lovers that they will accept and receive Christ as Savior. I love you. Shalom, shalom, shalom. Remember, Yeshua is Lord. Return imminent.
You've been listening to Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle. If you'd like to contact Pastor Dermothy or send him a gift of support, the address is Straight Word Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. That's P.O. Box 25348, Federal Way, Washington 98093. Or you can call 253-431-7375. Again, 253-431-7375. On the web, it's straightwordministries.com. That's straightwordministries.com. Tune in again for more Straight From His Word with Dr. Dermothy Lavelle.